And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Challenges for Simon Harris. There may be trouble ahead. Also, we're looking at a major fundraiser for Galway Rape Crisis Centre. Clifton Tradfest is on its way to us. And we're also looking at childcare issues quite extensively today. And it's covered in most of today's newspapers also. Lucy O'Callaghan from Galway's a new book. The Galway Hospice Foundation is going to feature in a T.G. Cahir documentary tonight. Interesting take on that as well and the care that they give. Galway Gardaí Secure Systems, we've got Evergreen, and we've got Pádraig Jack for music. That and trending topics between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome in to the programme. We do hope that you had an extremely nice Easter and the services went well and whatever you're doing or wherever you're listening to us, and that you had a bit of a break or you took some time out or you ate too much or whatever else you did too much. We do hope that you had a good Easter, and we're back again today with you. If you want to get in contact with us, you can do so 086 38 33 55 3, and we're with you right through until 12 midday. I do believe there's going to be a little bit of a schmozzle indeed on the 9th of April when it comes to the selection of the next Taoiseach. I want to go indeed to Independent Ireland, because categorically they are saying to us that they will not be supporting Simon Harris in a vote for Taoiseach. But let me go to one of the founding members, Michael Fitzmaurice, who joins me on the line. Deputy Fitzmaurice, good morning to you.
How are you, Keith? Are you well?
Good. Thanks for joining us today. And I hope you had a good Easter and took it nice and handy. I doubt it very much. Just the election, indeed, on the 9th of April of a new Taoiseach. Have Independent Ireland, have you made the decision not to vote in his favour?
Yeah, well, we made it actually, I think, 2 weeks ago. And it's nothing personal against Simon Harris himself. We made it very clear that while Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are supporting basically the Greens in government, in light of, if you look at over the last number of weeks, the Nature Restoration Law has been kicked, even though it passed by our MEP's vote for it. It is for basically blessing in Europe, and thankfully a number of countries, including the Dutch, who would be drowned by it, have refused to ratify it. And here we have Eamon Ryan even doing articles how it needs to be ratified. On top of that, we would be very concerned. Yesterday, and I hope Minister our new Taoiseach Harris, when he comes in, I hope he addresses the situation where the Sunday Business Post has reported that the Department of Housing, which is under Dara O'Brien and Fianna Fáil, mm-hmm. is now proposing that rural one-off housing, they're trying to restrict it, and they're going to put higher charges on it, and even smaller towns, they want to go in bigger cities. So we made our decision very clear that we cannot and will not support a government that has the Greens within it, because we feel it is damaging rural Ireland.
So then it's a time for an election, because without the Greens, they won't survive, the government won't survive.
Well, look, at the bottom line on it is, I'm a realist, Keith. I know how the figures, it's a numbers game. And the government will, if you look at the media or listen to the media at the moment, you have, they have Joe McHugh, they have Mark McSherry, and probably some of the independents that would be generally supporting the government will probably support them. And I think if you're a realist, in fairness, he will get through in the vote. The government have a majority, so that's the way the numbers game is. So there's no point in saying that it won't happen or that there'll be an election. There won't be an election. The numbers game in it is that they will have sufficient numbers, in my opinion.
But should there be an election? I mean, others are calling for an election at this stage, but again, Simon Harris is saying no, we'll wait and later.
Whether there should or there shouldn't, and I think this is the third Taoiseach. Whether there should or there shouldn't, in my opinion, there should be an election in the morning, but that's not going to cut it. That's it. You know, let's be honest with people and realistic with people. In my opinion, he will go in into at least October or into February, even though we hear that his advisors are telling him to cut in June, but I don't think the other two parties will allow that.
But is it down to them? I mean, if there's the numbers, if Fine Gael have the numbers, then they pull plant on government.
Well, they haven't. Look, there's three different parties in it.
And there is, yeah. One you don't like, the Green Party.
Pardon?
I said one you don't like, the Green Party.
Yeah, and I don't hide that from anybody.
No.
And it isn't that I don't like the people around them. What I'm saying very clear is the policies that's been implemented. Like, it's a damnable situation that we are relying. I'm actually going writing to the Dutch Prime Minister. I'm going writing to Maloney. I'm going writing to the ones that oppose the nature restoration or to keep encouraging them, because funnily enough out there, they keep trying to mollycoddle you in the bureaucrats do in Brussels to try and get you over the line. There's a few countries abstaining. I think Austria as well is opposing it. And only for that, we would be down the road. It's not now, and I think the people need to know, the farmers need to know that out there, that our MEPs bear too, and that our government is backing this. And this is detrimental. I've said it from day one. This isn't scaremongering. I've said it from day one. And to put the tin hat on it then, to see what's coming out in the Business Post, that they are now proposing that they will basically shut down one-off housing in rural Ireland, how the two main parties that were the biggest in rural Ireland can stand with that, and it's actually one of them that's proposing it, that they'll put either extra taxes or give incentives in their bigger towns for building houses to get people not to be building in the rural areas, in the whole name of this climate agenda.
Mm.
You know, there's no way, how in God's name would I go supporting something and I'm from as dense as the sticks out in rural Ireland? You know what I mean?
That's the question. They can't get away with that.
We're trying to keep kids in schools, we're trying to keep shops, we're trying to keep the rural fabric going, the local football teams, both ladies and gents, rugby teams. I see out the road here for me in Craig's, the amount of youngsters that come there every day. And you can't have something that flies in the face of that.
No, but they can't get away with it either, by the way, because, I mean, if somebody has a housing needs assessment and they're from an area and they can build, I mean, they cannot be...
And in all fairness, Keith, you shouldn't be taxing somebody more. What's being proposed is that they would hit you with harder, to disincentivize you, that they would hit you with harder...
Taxes,
which would try and disincentivize you. Mm. But I cannot see how that would be fair in what would be going on. Like, my argument always would be, we're in a housing crisis at the moment.
Yeah.
We, thankfully, great people years ago built the roads and the back roads and the by roads and the side roads. And in fairness to the council, they do their best. I know there's some of them middle in repair, but at least people can drive in them.
Yeah.
We have the electricity, thank God, everywhere. And we have a government that decided, in fairness to them, that we'd put broadband right around the country, which I 100% agree with. And now we're basically trying to tell people that we don't want them to live in the rural areas. Like, Jesus, where are we going? We spend money, spend money, spend money. And these people that build their one-off house don't look for a street lamp, don't look for a footpath. They give their contributions. And they do their own. And like, the other part of this is, one time ago we had the figure 8 septic tanks and all that. Now the treatment plants are the same, as they're as good a quality as what the likes Irish Water put in, but they're a smaller scale, obviously. Mm. That they're really, really well done, and you have to go to the highest spec, and that's sound. No one has a problem with that, but you cannot. We have to make sure that we have a thriving rural area as well.
Yeah, but it actually doesn't make sense that on one side we've got a housing crisis and on the other side you've got people who are willing with family and otherwise to come into a community and support the community and support family members. And then now the government are saying that one-off houses, no, we want you all to live in villages like Moylock, Moycullen, Barna.
Well, it's even debatable about the village of Moylock, going by the document that I read, or what they even said. They want you to go into, say, larger urban areas that has
treatment plants and all that. Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of smaller towns that have huge potential that, you know, in my opinion, the sewage treatment plants needs to be put into, and it would actually build up those areas well. But on top of that, there is a need. Like, it's simple as this. We have a lot of youngsters at the moment that's heading to Australia and different parts of the world where they're saying we can't afford a house. Well, whatever way we have to get them in a house, like I'm actually, we're not opposed to log cabins providing they're done properly, do you know what I mean? But whatever way we look after our youngsters to give them, to be able to afford a house, because what type of a country would you end up in where you have people working hard and putting two wages together and that they can't afford to live in their area? Now, there's something awful wrong there.
Or they're lining the pockets, indeed, of vulture funds or landlords.
Yeah, and but even let's call a spade, we see it day in, day out, and every politician is right across the divide, that there are actually the houses for renting is getting scarcer and scarcer. And one time ago, I remember 2016 and 17, we'd hear about it in Dublin, and then it moved, say, to Galway City. Mm. It was a city problem. It is a countrywide problem now, be you living in the countryside, a small town, large town, or a city. It is a problem everywhere. And you do everything to incentivize house building now, the way that people are looked after, not disincentivize it, like what the Sunday Business Post are alleging they are proposing at the moment.
All right, just some of the comments coming into us today, maybe you'd like to comment on them as well, but it says, Keith, Keith, rural houses are being restricted to allow for wind farms to be built. Open your eyes, lads. The Green Party's idea is we all live in towns and cities. And what a way to start a programme, Keith. I could sit and listen to Michael Fitzmaurice all day long. And other calls coming in too. Can I ask you, just before I let you go, I mean, if there is an election in the morning or in June, and if Simon Harris gets his way or whatever, what constituency will you be running in?
Well, at the moment, I'm in Roscommon, Galway. We are, obviously, as you are aware, and I think you've covered some of it, we are recruiting prospective people running for the councils in every county. I was actually in Timahoe yesterday, in Laois. I was in Port Laois and I was in Athy, launching new candidates. And right around the country, we are putting the basically people together. We will be announcing in the coming weeks people running for MEPs, even though there was speculation that I was running for MEP. And what we will be doing then, Keith, to answer your question straight, because I'm not one of these that waffles around the place, what we will be doing then is assessing basically the west of Ireland, the south of Ireland, the north, or say the northwest, Midlands, and wherever is the strongest area that, or if we have good candidates somewhere that someone has to move to a different area, well then, if you have to move to a different area, that's fine. Like, I'm here between East Galway and Roscommon, Galway. Yeah. So, you know, but my opinion is, I'll be straight about it, and people will always say it, people ring me from Donegal, people ring me from Wexford, people ring me from Cork, Kerry, Connemara, and if I can help them, that's what I'm doing. I don't look at it as where I'm from. I always try and help a person.
Absolutely, but I mean, the situation is, I mean, you could go and Galway East. There's an extra seat there in Kieran.
Yeah, all that will be announced, but I have to, at the moment, I represent Roscommon, Galway constituency.
And finally, can I ask you, what is Funding Independent Ireland, can I ask you, as a party?
There's actually two people in the background doing it voluntary, and there's three of us travelling the country. Okay. That's the facts of it. And the people that are running in the different areas are being told that if they want to, we have, obviously social media didn't cost you. You can be on Facebook or whatever. We've two voluntary people doing that. Basically, there's only the five of us at the moment that's running. We have people appointed now, like Shane P. O'Reilly is looking after the Northwest. Declan Gersey is covering the West in recruitment as well. And we have people looking after the South, but it's a skeleton staff. We're doing it ourselves. There's a lot of driving at the moment. But at the end of the day, if you believe in where you're going, if you believe in the vision you have, if you believe in the policies that we have done, well, we're going to drive it on. Everything started small, and we'll give the option to people to decide in the coming months. And that's up to people. I'm sick and tired of listening to people and every one of them saying, "Sure, we have no one to vote for." Yeah. Well, you'll get that opportunity now. Let's see how it goes. And you know, listen, I'm a realist as well. That you see how things go, and June will be the first
test
sign of where we are. Yeah. We'll be announcing people running for MEPs in the coming weeks, and in this area and in Dublin and down south. And let's see how it goes. You know what I mean? I don't get carried away by thinking there were the greatest things since the sliced pan or anything. I'm a realist. People will get their opportunity and let them decide in what they want to do.
Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice, thank you for joining us today on the programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday, 086 38 33 55 3 if you want to get in contact with us.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. I want to go to Cathy Connolly, who's the Executive Director of the Galway Crisis Centre, and they've launched a major fundraiser. Cathy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, Keith. I'm doing okay.
Good. Nice to talk to you. Thanks to you for popping into us this morning. This is a major fundraiser. It's the first I remember for the Galway Crisis Centre.
It is, and we're hoping it's a once-off, you know, so we're looking really for people to come out and support us, because We don't really want to be looking for trying to do another fundraiser down the road. This is something we're going to give it everything. And we're hoping to raise a significant amount of money to help us build our new centre in Cladachy.
How's that going?
It's going okay. We've the foundations in, and
it's a lovely location.
It's a lovely location. I think it's a very uplifting kind of a location for, you know, people from Galway that use it, and for the staff and for, you know, everyone that'll be coming there.
Mm. So from a money point of view, then you're actually giving people an opportunity to win 100,000, but you're hoping to raise an awful lot more money than that.
Well, the building is costing about 1.3 million, so you know, this is a way of trying to raise a significant sum, and it's all going to build the building, to finish the building, the interior and the exterior, and we'd love to have it so that we don't have to fundraise after this, that we can pay for the building.
1.3 million, I mean, you're getting value there.
We are getting good value. We've had a lot of very good people helping us out and helping us with their professional skills over the last 4 years. So I suppose that's enabled us to bring it in at that price.
Yeah. And I mean, so to raise that money, you'd love to raise it on this draw that we're talking about today, so that once it's up and running, you're not worried about a legacy.
That's right. It's always a worry trying to find money to. There are so many good charities out there, as I said to you so many times, Keith. We're only one of them, but you know, with our particular charity, fundraising is always that little bit more difficult, because people that support us, we don't ask them to do it publicly. So this is an opportunity for anyone who has used the service during the past 40 years that they can support it. You know, by just paying for buying a ticket. The tickets are 50 euros each, or 3 for 100. And it's good value, really, because you stand, you know, to win a very substantial prize.
It's good. It's very good.
It is, yeah. You know, so we didn't want to make it like so that people have a lot of things to spend their money on nowadays, and we're very conscious of that. But we're just asking people, please, this one time, please buy the tickets. And I think 3 for 100 are very good value.
It is, yeah. Can I ask you, I mean, you're still as busy as ever?
Yeah, we are, unfortunately. I mean, last year, I suppose, we offered over 5,000 appointments. And I think because we're a university city, we have two universities in the city, we've people coming from all counties. Our remit is Galway, City, County, North Clare and South Roscommon. But in reality, we see people from all over.
That's a huge amount of appointments.
It is. It's a 5,000, huge amount of appointments.
100,
yeah.
That's 100 euro. 100 appointments a week.
Yeah, it's a lot of appointments. It is, yeah. It's very busy. And we still have a huge waiting list, you know. So, like, there were 77 on our crisis waiting list there last week. There is, we basically do three different kinds of counseling. We have clients who come who have an adolescent clinic where we see children as young as 12 up to 24. Then we have a historical abuse where people, older people, who may not have spoken about their abuse for many, many years, they require a lot of counselling hours. And then we've current rape or current abuse that's happened that comes in the door. So that's what we call our crisis list. So it's always very busy. And unfortunately, we have to say to people at times that they have to wait. And that's awful hard, because if they're brave enough to come in the door and tell us they need help, and very often they have come through referrals from GPs, from psychiatry, from the guards, from, you know, through different services.
But to make that first step, to make the first phone call,
to make
and
that
then
first
to step inside the door or on a Zoom call or whatever, that's the first step indeed to taking control of the situation.
It is, to bring, to getting back their own power. Yeah. And I have huge admiration for anyone that does that. And I absolutely detest the fact that we have to say to them, you have to wait 2 months, 3 months. You know, it's so difficult. Now, most of them are great about it, but that's not the point, you know.
Yeah, it's not in your nature either, because you want to fix everything.
I suppose, you like to help people when...
when they call, but you can't. I mean,
it is heartbreaking.
Can I ask a very stupid question? I mean, do you get any public funding, or do you have to try and fund?
We get public funding from, up until recently it was TUSLA, but now it's the Department of Justice, because since February we've moved into this new agency called COON. And we get funding for the service, for the actual physical service. Yeah. But the basic things like heat and light and rent and paying for the centre, up until now, no.
So you don't get any capital funding?
Capital funding, no.
No, you don't.
We have to find the money for this ourselves.
Yeah. So it's recognised at some level within government, the great work that you're doing on a daily basis then?
It is recognised. Oh, it is, yeah. And I mean, we recently received extra funding from the Minister for Justice, Anna McEntee, for which we're grateful. But we're still short. This is for the service now. We're still short funding as well. But it's an ongoing kind of battle to try and, you know...
survive it through.
There's a lot of people looking for the same funding. But we don't do... they do listen, but we need a lot more.
Yeah. So listen to me. You have, can I say one of the... beautiful, beautifully done, so it is. And it's going to be lovely when it's finished as well. Win 100,000, 100grand.ie. That's the website.
Well, it's win 100grand.ie. I think if people, you know, that's probably the easiest way for people to remember it. Win 100grand.ie. Just in case people would write it instead of the numbers, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a lovely building, isn't it?
It's gorgeous, but it will be lovely when
When it's done, it will.
And I think when you think about the location of it and what people have been through that go in there, I think it'll lift their spirits as well.
Well, that's what we're hoping, you know. It'll be still we're a very private, very under the radar charity. We don't really, and we're very conscious of everything we do for people that, and the people we work with, that we're not trying to draw attention to them. So it's to have an environment where they come in and feel comfortable and feel relaxed and feel safe. That's very important, you know. Somebody said to me one day, I have a friend who gives me money every year for the charity. And he said one day, I don't think I know anybody that uses your charity, Cathy. And I said, I guarantee you probably do, but you don't realise it, because
that's the confidential nature of it.
That is the confidential nature of it, yeah.
And again, how many of a team would you have now fully done?
We have 31. 31. Yeah, about 26 counsellors, and the rest are, you know, the likes of me and a few other people that work in
the
main.
Well, you need a leader, for God's sake, so you do.
So,
It's unfortunately, it's sad, but when you see the numbers...
But you know what, Keith? It's very hopeful as well.
It is.
Because people, because of the likes of this show and others and the fact that you've always helped us, it's raising that issue. It's bringing it out into the open. It's talking about things. It's saying there's nothing to be ashamed of. Come forward. We're there to help. There are 16 rape crisis centres around the country. And there's lots of other services that help as well. And I think for people to know that, it's very important that they're not alone. They're not alone in this. And very often an awful lot of victims of rape and sexual abuse keep that story to themselves, sometimes all their lives, and they never share it. And
they're embarrassed.
Because they feel somehow responsible for it, or feel ashamed. And I think, you know, the value of speaking about this is it's a difficult subject. It's a very difficult subject to talk about any time. But people... if they hear that we're there, it's a free service. They don't have to pay to come into us. It's free. So, I mean, our doors are open. We're non-judgmental. We don't get involved in it. Only in the counselling. That's what we do. Our core service is counselling.
It's reality. It's happening. And there's people there. As you said, there's the historic, there's the current, and there's the long term, and then there's the young as well.
That's right.
But I mean, this is life. This is unfortunately.
Unfortunately, this is part of this is the underbelly, the nasty side of life that happens.
Yeah. It is, yeah. Somebody just said there, is it open to male and female? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something actually, thanks for bringing that up, whoever asked that, because I think there's a misconception that the service is for women only. Mm-hmm. And it isn't. It's for men as well. And we've been very actively out there trying to encourage men to use the service, and we'll continue to do so, because I think somewhere along in the middle of the mess, it got lost that we see a lot of young men.
Yeah.
We see a lot of young women. We see older men and women. And we see an awful lot of people that are, you know, trans people, that are non-binary, that everybody. We see everybody, because everybody has the same issues. They're all human.
So if somebody's listening to us today, Cathy Connolly, Executive Director of the Galway Rape Crisis Centre, and they're listening to us and they're saying, God, yeah, I meant to, or I should, what should they do?
They should go on the website that's been set up for this draw, and it's www.win100grand.ie. I'll just say that again, win100grand.ie, and buy a ticket and help us.
From there.
Yeah.
When is the final draw going to be?
It's in September, yeah.
So it's a good lead in.
It's a good lead into it, yeah, because summer and everything.
They can be saving towards it, and they can put a few
bonus. Well, we only get one go at this, Keith, so we have to sort of give it everything we can.
In September, what would the ideal figure be in September? 1.8 million?
Oh, I don't know. It would be great, wouldn't it?
Lift a lot.
Yeah, it would lift a lot of burden off people, it would, yeah.
As usual, though, you haven't come in empty-handed, because we have 2 tickets to give away this morning.
Yeah.
And we'll send you on the details of the winner. Now, the suggested question we have is, what is the winning prize? Would that be a simple enough question?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, it's on the ticket, though.
Even I get that now, so I would at this hour of the morning. So if you know what the overall prize is going to be in September when the ticket is drawn, and it could be your ticket, what you have to do is text us now to 086 38 33 55 3 and be in with the chance to win two tickets to that event. Well, there's 2 tickets up for grabs, so 2 people are going to benefit from this. So what is the final number that you could win, and send it straight away to that number, 086 38 33 55 3. Online, can they, if they go to that website, then can they buy online?
They can
then
buy online, yeah, absolutely, yeah. That's the idea, that people
the payments
make it very
are
easy for people. Yeah, and also just to say that once you buy a ticket, you're in for all the bonus draws that'll be happening in between, you know, so we're going to have a lot of good prizes. And so it'd be, you know, there's a good chance, and you're helping a great cause. Yeah. And I think 50 euros and 3 for 100 of, you know, win100grand.ie. It's like, it's where, you know, I think it's good value for what we're doing. Yeah.
It is, but you need to sell the tickets.
We need to sell the tickets. So we need everybody to sort of think, this is what I'll give this money to this charity, because we want to build the centre, and it's there for the people of Galway.
And we'll be there after Keith Finnegan and Cathy Connolly,
that's for sure.
So
that's the idea. Yeah,
it's there. It's the legacy that you're leaving behind.
Yeah, it's the legacy we all want to leave behind.
So we've given them the website address, so you have to tell us exactly how much you think you're going to win. We've given it to you 1,000 times, so just send it in straight away. But if somebody's affected by our conversation and they want to get in contact with the service, then what can they do?
They just come and ring us, 1-800-355-355 or 091-568-564-800.
So
091-564-800. Also, just come down to the centre. We're in the lodge in Foster Court.
Mm.
And we have people that walk in all the time.
Do you?
Yeah. It's not every week, but people do it. Yes, they do. And there's no reason for them not to.
I mean, that's the old Magdalen site, isn't it?
It's behind it, yeah. We're in Foster Court, yeah.
Okay.
And it's part of the Cope on it, yeah.
So what do you do is you turn into Foster Court and then you turn right.
You take an immediate right and go right down to the end and skates there, yeah.
I still call it the old Sean McNan building there, the shop.
Oh, that's right, because it's on the left, yeah.
So you turn right down there.
Right down there.
And again, it's a very private area. So
it's very private and yeah, very discreet.
Yeah, if they want to go in and get further detail. And physically, can they buy tickets there if they're not online or if they're listening to us in town?
Well, we haven't got physical tickets yet, but we can figure that out if somebody, yeah, they're all online, to be honest with you, Keith.
Online, but if you have a problem.
Well, the online is great because it's easy, trace it, it's cleaner, it's kind of there, it's in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the way people are doing it nowadays, I suppose.
I think really and truly, I mean, there's a it's a TV documentary and what you're trying to achieve here to try and get the to get it up and running. You have the site, you've gone so far with it, you've got planning permission, you've...
Well, it's 4 years in the making, you know, it's been a hard
struggle. Didn't happen overnight, no.
Yeah,
no.
It is. It's been hard going, and like I think, it's because, as I said to you, it's a charity that people hear about. People don't think about our charity until, unfortunately, they may need to use it.
Mm.
Like people often say to me, I don't know where you are. And then somebody else say, well, I found you when I needed you. You know, that kind of way. So it's...
Which is lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'd like to think that we're accessible and that we're easy to get to.
Be it the GP or be it the Gardaí or
be it
a family member.
That's
or
right.
Like there's so
a friend.
Many people hurting out there.
There are. There are an awful lot. When you think of 5,000 appointments last year, it's a lot of...
So many people.
Not 5,000 people, but 5,000 appointments, yeah. You know. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, and again, people-wise, that could be down to whatever, but I mean, because people need multiple appointments, it's not...
Oh, they do. That's about 500 people.
About 500 people, yeah. 10 appointments a year.
Yeah.
So well done to you. Thanks indeed for joining us. And we hope that you raise a lot of money. And September is the D-Day.
It's the D-Day. So I might just say it once again, just to win... 100grand.ie. That's for the two ticket winners.
Yeah. Yeah, just keep sending it. But you know, we leave the lines open for a while. It's a Tuesday after a bank holiday weekend and Easter. So we leave the lines open if you think you know what the overall prize is going to be. And you can text us on that. So that's win100grand.ie for further details there.
Thank you.
Cathy, good luck with it.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Not at all.
Thank you.
Quick commercial break and we're back just after these. Good morning to you.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motor Mall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.
Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. The comment lines are all open. If you want to get through to us, we'd like to hear from you. And if you'd like to win that 100,000 euros. So again, I've cards here in front of me. I did have, well, they have them here still. Again, all you have to do is go to the website, win100grand.ie and get further details there. And you will certainly be making a donation to a wonderful charity, the Galway Rail Crisis Centre, and their new centre indeed at Claddagh Quay, opening in 2025. Now, though, let me go to Clifton, because Clifton Tradfest is back this week, running indeed from the 4th to the 7th of April. And Marie Walsh joins me on the line today. Marie, good morning to you. Can you hear me, Marie, there? Would you turn on your mic, Marie, if you don't mind?
Yes, Simon.
Now I can hear you, so I can. How are you? Can you hear me all right there? I can hear Marie in the background, so I can. We'll see, can we get her up there just again? I can see her in the background. Well, I can hear her in the background. I'll just see, can I get her up there again? And we'll see, can we make that work? In the meantime, though, if you want to call us as well, you can do so on 091-770-077. That's 091-770-077. If you want to get further details there, you can do so as well. Let me try this one more time and see, can I try and get Mary Walsh up? Because we want to try and talk about Clifton Tradfest as well. And I can only imagine what Clifton was like over the Easter. I wasn't there. Marie, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can, Keith. I think that we were having some tech.
We seem to still have technical problems. You're there and you're not there. I'll see, can we get you, we'll get you up on the line so we'll all together from there, if you don't mind. Marie, we'll get you up on the just the telephone itself. Now, you have to come to the programme, by the way. Clifton Tradfest is one aspect of it. We're also looking at childcare, by the way, in the next hour. And you might remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke about a crisis in the Knocktacarry area. We think we may have a solution there. We will. We're also joined by Lucy O'Callaghan. And she's launched her brand new, she's a Galway native indeed, for a long number of years. But she joins us as well in studio and we look at her brand new book as well. Marie should be joining me on the line though at this stage. Marie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Ah, good, thank you. Technology just didn't like us this morning. They wanted us to go on the telephone, the traditional.
No.
Listen, first off, I know Clifton Tradfest is taking place on the 4th to the 7th of April. I know it's been a tough weekend for you as well because you lost a key member as well. But the Tradfest goes ahead.
Yes, Keith, it's been a very tough few days here. We lost a member of our branch and a dear friend in Rean Sheridan through a tragic car accident, as most people would know. And he was a member of our branch for many years and a member of our groups and our bands, and just a beautiful young man. And we paid tribute to him yesterday at his funeral. So it was very sad, and the whole area is very shocked. But we feel that Rean would want us to continue on. So that's what we're going to try and do this weekend. And we are going to obviously mark, you know, remember him at the festival in a few different ways. But we are going to try and continue on with the Triad Fest, which starts on Thursday.
And again, Rean would want that, his family would want that. And I mean, collectively, I know the area's numb, and his family indeed have got to be scratching their head wondering why and if. But I mean, the Triad Fest brings in a huge amount of people. And what I always like about the Triad Fest that you have, which runs right through on from the 4th to the 7th of April, is you bring in young people as well. Young people are very much part of this.
Yes, Keith, they are indeed. They're a large part of the festival. Starting on the Thursday, we have our Sessiún na nOg. We have actually one of those every month in Clifton. But we have it. It's bigger and better, should we say, when it comes to the Triad Fest. And that's down in the Abbey Down Castle on Thursday night. And so, again, youth starts the Friday. We have the Scalwera marching band coming down at 11 o'clock. And then we go into our opening concert, which has, I suppose, a taster concert for all the visiting musicians that are going to be performing throughout the whole weekend. But again, there will be a lot of young people performing at the concert, and we're delighted this year to have Bill Whelan to officially open the festival.
Well done to Bill. But I mean, when you talk about music, I mean, he is Mr. Music Man, so he is, and Mr. Composer. But again, just tell people where they can get details on this, because it's a magical weekend in Clifton.
Yeah, no, it's an action-packed weekend, and as I say, Saturday is an action-packed weekend. There's work day, there's workshops in the morning. There's a busking competition at 1:30. There's a 5K run at 2:00, and I suppose it culminates then with all our pub sessions going on, full pub session throughout the whole weekend, with over 20 visiting musicians. And we have a mighty act on the gig rig this year at 7:45 on the Town Square with Nick Kennedy, Brendan Brown, Anne Brennan from the Brennan Sisters, and Pat Coyne. And all the details can be got on our website, cliftontradfest.ie. And there's loads of brochures all over the place. And everyone is most welcome, as always.
And again, it's good for the economy there, so it is, because, I mean, you would have come in indeed from the Christmas and a very full town, I have to say. And then you come into, you know, into April as we are now. And it's really very much the beginning of the tourist season.
It is, and actually, this year now, the festival started back in 2010, so this is our 14th year, and it actually started from an initial approach from the Connemara Chamber of Commerce to try and get a music festival, another music festival, going in the town. But one of the main, I suppose, one of the main things they wanted was that it would be in the shoulder months, or to kickstart the season. So the date was chosen either to be the weekend before or after Easter, depending on how Easter falls, and that was a kind of a good kickstarter to the weekend. And a lot of businesses really do say that they find it prolongs the Easter break, but a lot of people maybe stay on for the second weekend. So that's why that was chosen, yeah.
Absolutely. And again, I have the memories of the Saturdays and all the young people congregating in the square and playing on the streets, and then, you know, the traditional musicians coming from all over. And you just don't know who's going to show up, Marie, at any stage.
You don't know. And it's great for the kids, because the busking competition, I think we had something like 60 entrants last year. Obviously, two or three of them would go together. But we had about 60 of them. And every single child gets a medal. And also, they're presented with their prize on stage. So it makes a big deal of that for them. But as you say, visiting musicians, we book about 20 musicians to tutor and to perform all over the weekend. But then you don't know who will turn up. And that's sometimes the best fun. And everyone is most welcome to sessions. We do have a session title with musicians listed on it. But everyone is most welcome to join in.
Absolutely. And will Walsh's Bakery be open for you now this week, do you reckon? Marie, would you
have
an insight in that, yeah?
I'm not. I'm a different Walsh now.
Oh, yeah.
But it will be, all the businesses are open.
which is great. It's really kicked off the season, you know, kind of after the Easter, that that all the businesses are open, and nice places for people to eat and nice places for people to stay. So I hope people make the journey out.
And there you are, in all the years I'm talking to you, and all the years I know you, I thought you were one of the Walshes there. I was being smart like, but it came back in my face, didn't it? But at least they're all open.
No.
Listen, behave yourself or don't.
And Keith, I have to butt in and say that just on behalf of the Clifton Tradfest and Clifton Coulter, and I'm also going to put my Galway County Slough hat on, we'd just like to say thanks to you, Keith, for always having us on, always promoting our events, and we want to wish you the very best on your retirement.
Absolutely, and it won't be too far away from you, I promise you that much all the time. Listen, thanks for joining us today on the programme. And yeah, today is programme, see you Marie, good luck. Today is programme number 9, tomorrow's 8, and then we crank down indeed to the 12th of April, and then John Morley cranks up on the 15th of April, and right through, will he survive 34 years? He will, because he's a good young man. By the way, to anyone who's lost a loved one over the weekend, it's been very tough, and we spoke there about Rhian Sheridan. We spoke also indeed about the Bowden family and their funerals that's taking place this week indeed in Raphoe in County Donegal. I know a lot of people from my Cullen heading to that as well. But I was shocked and saddened to hear of the passing of Joe Gorman. And Joe is known by so many people, I have to say, and a lovely gent and a lovely family as well. He was gregarious. He loved the GAA. He had a real towny look about him. He worked hard indeed in the hardware sector, so he did for many years, and retired indeed with his good friend Tommy Glynn and others. But unfortunately, just, I would say he died suddenly. He did die suddenly because he was in good shape on Friday. And then there was an incident, and then he was transported to University Hospital Galway, where they absolutely looked after him like royalty in the intensive care. But unfortunately, he lost his battle indeed with all that had gone on, but to his wonderful wife, Noreen, and they were like peas in a pod, as it were. Themselves and the Glynns went everywhere, travelled the world and travelled Spain and otherwise. But he will be sadly missed indeed by his sons and daughters, Jean, Keith, Rose, David, Joy and Jason as well. But especially to Noreen, because they were lifelong partners. And to his family as well. He grew up in St. Bridget's Terrace, and you'd know the rest of the family out there as well. So really tough. That funeral goes on this evening in the Holy Family Church, again, Tuesday the 2nd, from 5 p.m. a removal at 8 p.m. to his home, bringing him home for the last time, and then tomorrow his Mass is in Castlegar Church. Is that St. Columba's Church there? But in Castlegar, and then he's heading to Lisheen Cemetery afterwards. And just when I was here during the news and I heard some David reading the death notice, it's kind of awful hard to think that Joe is gone, because he was into boating, he was into sport, he was into his grandchildren, and he was great crack-like. There was just, he had that towny wit about him, and knew how to use it very well. So again, just to the to Keith and to Noreen and to the extended family and grandchildren and everything, it's going to be a tough couple of days, going to be a tough couple of months, because he's one hard person indeed to just think he's gone. And really and truly, and there's just many other families going through the same thing today. But I know the Castlegar GAA and the whole GAA fraternity will be out in force as well. It'll be one of the biggest funerals that the Merview, Ballybritside will have seen in quite some time. But the doors are not opening until 5 p.m. today. And then tomorrow then, the church in Castlegar as well. So spare them a thought and a prayer, and anybody who lost a loved one. And again, I'm still thinking of Joe, but I'm thinking of the Bowden family as well, and what they have to go through. And they left the hospital yesterday at 2 o'clock, and there was a guard of honour from my Cullen, from their school friends and otherwise, outside the university hospital, as the three girls, as it was put in a WhatsApp, left for the last time together and headed to her dad's Raphoe farm, where they would be reposing between now and Wednesday as well. So may they rest in peace, and anybody else who's lost a loved one at all over the weekend. It's just very tough for all involved in that. Now though, let's head towards the 10 o'clock news and join the team there. And yet to come, Galway Gardaí are seeking your assistance and much more between now and 12 midday. But if you want to win those tickets, it's still open. So it's, again, all you have to do is put in win 100 grand.ie for further details there. Did I get that right? I did. Win 100grand.ie for further details. Get your name into us. How much are you going to win? And we could be giving you a ticket shortly.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway on the Monavay Road. A new way to car shop.